Psalm 100, and we're going to read Psalm 100. It's only five verses, if you'll read with me. Book of Psalms 100, this is a psalm of praise written most likely by David. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with what?
Amen.
Come before His presence with what? Singing. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Enjoying the presence of God. Verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us. Sorry, Darwin. And not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations.
Amen.
Amen. I want to talk to you today about entering the presence of God. The presence of God is like electricity. It's like air. It's like water. It's a constant. It's always there. There's never a time when God is not around. David said, "Lo, if I am in the ends of the earth, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, lo, Thou art with me." So we understand God's presence is everywhere. Yet just like electricity, it needs a bulb to be manifest. Just like a water, it needs a sink or a faucet to be used. And just like that, the presence of God is not always manifest, and His power and His profit of His presence is not always in our lives as Christians. Sometimes we grow dry. Sometimes, yes, the presence of God is there, but am I enjoying it? Probably not. And that's why David in this psalm says he's going to enter into His presence. He's going to come before His presence. David wanted to enjoy fellowship with his Savior, with his Redeemer, with his Lord. So we're going to look at that tonight. How can we enjoy the presence of God? It's going to be very simple, but let's pray and ask God's blessing on the sermon. Lord, we come before You, and Lord, we want to understand, what did David mean when he said, "I'm going to enter into Your presence"? What was he talking about when he said, "Lord, I'm going to do it before You, in Your presence, Lord"? And Lord, we all want the power and the profit. We want You to show Yourself strong in our lives personally, God. I know no one is here tonight on a Sunday night because they want less of You, but because we want more of You. Lord, help us to surrender and learn how to enjoy Your presence, and we'll give You the praise in Christ's name. Amen. How to enjoy the presence of God. Imagine you're a disciple, right? And there as a disciple in the Lord's time, Jesus is here in the earthly ministry. He's doing all these miracles. And similarly, in the Christian life, many of those things happen in our life. Have you ever had an opportunity where you didn't know how you're going to pay a bill, you didn't know how you're going to pay a debt, and the Lord seemingly got a coin out of a fish out of nowhere and paid it for you? Amen? Have you had that time where, just like the disciples, that you go into the temple and Jesus comes and throws the changers' tables in the temple and He upsets everyone at the Thanksgiving family dinner and all your in-laws because of Jesus Christ? Amen? Have you had those moments where when Jesus, He was trying to raise Lazarus from the dead, it was a hopeless situation in your life where you knew nothing, no one could give an answer, and seemingly God took something that was broken and shattered and raised it back to life, right? Those moments are the miracles in the Christian life just as they were for the disciples. And all of those moments are where we see the presence of God, where Jesus was personally making a change and making a difference in those lives. So why don't we see more of it in our lives? Well, what David is trying to teach us here is because we're not in His presence. Yes, He's all around us, and by the blood we're made near, but how do we enter into this fellowship with the Lord? It's very simple. He says, first, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. The first way we can enjoy the presence of God is very simple. It's by singing to Him. Singing to Him. You know, when you sing, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. It bolsters your faith. It bolsters your faith. You know why that is? Is because when you're worshiping and singing with your heart to the Lord, you're not focused on your problems. Right? You're not focused on this earth. You're focused on how great your God is. Here in the future, this is also a reference to a future time in the millennium, the 1,000 years when Jesus returns and sets up His kingdoms, to where literally from every part of the world, from every culture, from every kingdom, men and women and children are coming to Jerusalem to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Captain of the Lord's army, saying, "Praise the Lord!" And it says, "Make a joyful noise." I'm glad it says a joyful noise, because some of us, that's all we can do, amen? I like the brother that says, hey, shout it out till you pass out. I can do that part. Amen. Might not always be skillful, might not always be, but I can shout and praise my God. In the Old Testament, that shout meant something to the Israelites when they were going out, the Ark of the Covenant, there was a shout in the camp. Why? They were excited. Not about their armies, not about their battle, not about their enemies, but about their God. You know what that does when you start singing, when you start praising your God? It bolsters your faith. Your faith gets excited. It's like adding fuel to a fire. Back in Idaho, where I'm from, there's a lot of rednecks. And us rednecks, we enjoy blowing things up. It's just, I guess, part of our DNA. And so what they do in southern Idaho, there's this 4th of July celebration. And the pinnacle, the zenith of this celebration is they get about, I think, 50 tons of gasoline and propane, all these different fuel types, and they just make a big explosion. It literally looks like a mini mushroom cloud, and it's multicolored, and all the, I mean, everyone's excited. Yeah, America, right? They just blow it up. It's huge. It's deafening. They literally have to make sure people are about, I think it's almost 200 yards. You imagine a football 200 yards away because it gets so big. I was in the back of a truck, right? Redneck Idahoan. I was in the back of the truck watching this, and I'm like, yeah, I'm like a mile away, and it was loud. I could smell the fuel. And you know what singing does? Sometimes you're down in the molly grub. Sometimes you're feeling down. Sometimes you're looking at your problems. Sometimes, you know, if we're honest, we're just dry. And you start praising the Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. You start remembering what Christ did for you, remembering who He is, remembering the power He has to change life, the blood that was spilled. Oh, Calvary. And you start singing those hymns. You start singing a song. And what does? It, like that mushroom cloud, it explodes that little faith. You see, it's not about how little faith you have, but how big the God you have faith in is. And when you start singing those songs, that's what it does. It reminds you that it's not your faith that's the size that matters, but the size of the God your faith is trusting in. And that's what those songs do. They tune your heart, and it bolsters your faith. That's not the only thing that singing does. He says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." Another thing it does is it not only does it bolster your faith, but it banishes your fears. You know, I had an interesting experiment this week, right? I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I get to worrying and stressed out, and I know, not me, right? I'm super Christian. No? Amen. I'm like you, or probably worse. But you know what I did in this experiment? I tested it out because I heard a preacher say it, and I couldn't trust everything a preacher says. Amen. 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 And so he said, you know what you cannot do? He said, you cannot fear, you cannot worry, you cannot be stressed out when you're singing and praising God. I'm like, really? Let me try this. I was at HEB buying some things, and I just started singing. I know I'm crazy, right? There at the checkout, and there's this guy buying his cervezas, and then there's this lady, and I'm like, I'm going to try it out. I just started singing, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him for all He's done. Amen. He was right. That preacher was right. I was no longer stressed, worried, anxious, none of it. You know why? Because fear is banished. When you're praising Him, it's like faith turned inside out. Faith turned inside out. All those things you're trusting in, all those things get pushed out of the way. Why? Because it's just trusting in the Lord. It banishes your fears. It bolsters your faith. That's not the only thing it does. The Bible says in the book of Psalms in another place that the Lord inhabiteth, that means He dwells, inhabiteth the praises of Israel. That's where God shows up. That's His home address, is where people are praising Him, getting excited, shouting for Him, singing for Him. That's where He shows up. And you know what? The devil has allergies when the Lord shows up. You know, some of you suffering with allergies, amen, it's awful, right? It's like, get me out of San Antonio, right? And that's the same effect. This verse we just read, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You know who the present god of this world is, according to the book of Corinthians? Right? One day, not just spiritually, but literally, He will be banished. The whole world will be worshiping Jesus Christ. He will be defeated. And what do all these people do? They're praising the Lord as He's banished into, for 1,000 years, the bottomless pit. Why? Because praise does that to the enemies. We were reading last week in Luke about how when when He had that Last Supper, it was heavy. He was about to enter in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was about to climb the Mount of Olives, pray. We went through all the things He suffered. He told the enemy, He said, at one point during that whole suffering He went through, the hour of darkness is at hand. That's some pretty serious stuff when the Lord Jesus Christ is saying the hour of darkness is at hand. He told Judas, what thou doest, do it quickly. He understood He was under the control of His enemy. But you know what the Lord did right at the end of the Last Supper? Right before He went and began His suffering? It tells us this in the end of Luke. Matthew 26, if you ever want to look it up. It says, I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth the fruit of the vine. He's at the Last Supper. And it says that, and when they had sung an hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. When they had sung an hymn. You know what our Lord Jesus Christ wanted to do to get spiritually ready? To let all the spiritual wickedness, because Ephesians 6 says we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul says, I wrestle with brute beasts. There's things out there that we cannot see. Jesus could see them. Jesus knew the hour of darkness was at hand. He knew this was not just a physical enemy, but a spiritual wicked enemy. And you know what He did? He sang a hymn with His disciples. He started praising the Father in a hymn so that all the wickedness in high places would know the power the Father had given Him, that He wasn't defeated, that He wouldn't be defeated, but that Satan would shortly be defeated. That's the confidence, the power, the boldness. You know, in the book of Acts, there's these men, Peter, and they started preaching, and everyone was spellbound. Why? Because the power God had given them. They said, these men are unlearned. They're ignorant. They don't know anything. Why are people listening to them? Why is this changing lives? And then it says, because they had understood they had been with Jesus. What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about entering the presence of God. He says, I will enter into thy gates with thanksgiving and into thy courts. You understand the old tabernacle, it was another level. It was going closer to the Holy Holies, closer where the blood was, closer where God was. How? Singing to Him. Singing to Him. And there's something special about it, Christian, when you'll praise. You know, we had an Easter service and the singing was great. There was a special, and it always touches my heart. I can't help it, but where Amanda Moreno got up, and man, she's belting it out, and I just came unglued. Why? Because that's my Savior. That was His blood. The power of song. It brings the presence of God. There's something peculiar. There's something unique. You know you're in the presence of God because it's almost supernatural. Things happen. People change. People make decisions. And one of the ways, the simple ways we can enter this presence is simply by singing to Him. We saw that. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Let me now go to part of verse 2. Not only can we sing to Him, but we can serve Him. The Bible says here, serve the Lord with anxiety and hard-heartedness. And oh, wait, did I get that wrong? Woo! Preach, brother, man, that's me. Oh, man, we got to get these things. Oh, man, we got to, oh, what's, oh, who's got the piano? Who's got the sound? No, serve the Lord with gladness. You know, amen, Brother Santiago convicts me every morning. He's like, amen, brother, praise the Lord. I'm like, whoo, I need to get there. I need to get there. Serve the Lord with gladness, but it says serve. We can serve Him. What were we talking about? We're talking about going into His presence, seeing God show up, seeing Him change things. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, in John 13, Jesus, one of the last acts before, you know, they had with His disciples, He took His garments off. And it was symbolic of what He was about to do, of course, but He took His garments off and He put on Him, girded Himself with a towel, and He went and He washed their feet. You realize that in Jewish Middle Eastern culture, you could not even get the slaves of the lowest caste to wash your feet. Right? My wife's like, hey man, I'm not washing his feet. That's how low it was. That's how low in this culture was. You couldn't even ask the people that weren't even considered people, they're considered property in this day and age, and you could not ask them to wash His feet. And what does the Savior do? According to Philippians 2, it says He took on Him the form of a servant. He does the dirtiest job. He does the job no one wants to do because He says, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with Me. He serves. He serves. He gets down on His knees. He washed His disciples' feet. Peter was like, no, you're not touching those bad boys. Okay, I'm paraphrasing. And the Lord is like, hey, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with Me. And Peter's like, okay, then wash me everything, Lord. Peter was that kind of guy, right? All in, all the time. But the principle that He was trying to say is, look, the greatest among you will be your servant. I took upon the form of a servant. I'm laying my life down. I did not come to be glorified, but to serve. You know, service to the Lord does produce joy inwardly. Service to the Lord also produces joy outwardly. And of course, it produces joy to the Lord. It makes Him, it pleases Him. You know, one of the reasons why I think it pleases the Lord is because we take on the image of His Son. Now, I'm going to be honest. I don't always serve the Lord with gladness. Okay, I confess your faults one to another. There's a Saturday where what I would do when I was in Idaho is every afternoon or so, not every, but most, I would go downtown, preach, witness, talk to people about the Lord. And so there was this, God bless him, this young man, and he wanted to go out that Saturday. I had just worked 8 hours. I was tired. I had drill that day. And he's like, hey, brother, hey, we're going to go downtown. We're going to go with street preaching. Hey, brother, we got to go. And I'm thinking, God, please. Right? None of you, right? Just me, right? I'm thinking, man, I don't want to go. I'm tired. I don't feel spiritual. Okay, Lord? Look at me, I'm not spiritual. He's like, but man, he was so excited. He's like that dog that wants to run, and he's just looking, right? You can't say no. You can't say no. Okay, maybe you can, but I couldn't. And so I'm like, all right, brother. So I grabbed myself in the car. He didn't have a car, so I went and picked him up. We went, drove downtown, and I just didn't want to be there. I was tired. It was hot. I had worked all day, had to work tomorrow. I just got down on my knees. I'm like, God, you know I don't want to be here. I was honest. God, you know I'm probably not going to do any good. But for the sake of this guy, man, would you do something today? And I kid you not, the first person I went up to, the first person I witnessed to, I was just kind of going through the motions. He got down on his knees in the middle of the marketplace, on the stone. I mean, we're talking about Dolce & Gabbana right there, and, you know, Chinese P.F. Chang's is right there. People are doing their thing, and he's on his knees asking Jesus to save him. Well, how did that happen? That was me. I wasn't spiritual. That was him. You see, your gladness to serve God rubs off on others. Your desire, your joy, yes, it will give you joy, but there are times when you don't have that joy, but someone else gives you theirs, amen? Borrowing joy from someone else. Hey, it's just how the Lord works. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. There's a reason for that. It produces joy inwardly. It produces joy in others. And it produces joy ultimately for the Lord. Because when He sees someone serving, someone doing it, even if they don't want to, someone getting down, someone getting dirty, doing things that no one else wants to do, He says, that's what my Son did. He's bearing the image of my Son. And whew, He shows up. His presence comes in. His presence comes in when we sing to Him. His presence comes in when we serve Him. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. And then, very shortly, look at verse 3 and 4, Psalm 100. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Memorize that verse. I mean, that it doesn't get simpler than that, amen? How to get into God's presence. With thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Remember, like I said, the old tabernacle of the Old Testament, you entered into the court first. There was a brazen laver. You sacrificed an animal. You got clean. And then, if you were the priest, and you had blood on you, and you were ordained, and you had holy clothes, and you had a holy bath, and all these different procedures, then you might be able to enter into the Holy of Holies, or the place. He says, you enter into the gates with thanksgiving and into the courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Why is that a big deal? Because that's where God was in the Old Testament. He's trying to teach us. David's trying to show us, hey, this is how you can enjoy the presence of God. See God change things. See God move. Yes, God's all around, but He wants your life to be changed. He wants to show up in your situations. Amen? And He's saying, not only is it singing, not only is it service, but here in verse 3 and 4, it's seeking Him. You ask, well, how can I seek Him? Well, He says in verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You know what the Lord wants? He wants our thoughts. You know what David did? And we see it all through the Psalms because David wrote all these Psalms. David could not stop thinking about the Lord. The Bible says, morning and evening and at noon will I pray. He says in Psalm 63, I will wake up in the night watches and I will meditate upon thee. Right? When he woke up in the middle of the night, he's thinking about God. When he woke up in the morning, first thing, his routine, praying, thinking about the Lord, devotions, noontime, lunchtime. You know, we go to Mickey D's, Burger King, Subway, some of the higher foods, right? We might go to Whole Foods, right? Get that keto diet. That's what we're thinking about, not David, right? David was thinking not how can I fill my belly, but how can I fill my mind with things of the Lord. Evening, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm just looking at that pillow. I'm tired. Not David. Even at the evening, even when he's tired, he was a man of the field, he was a king, he was busy, he had management, he had people under him, he had armies, he had battles. But his habit was even in the evening he would stop and reflect on the things of God. I can't help but even think that that was probably the special time where he would sing some of these psalms, sing some of the Word of God, meditate on the old scriptures that he had. What I'm trying to get across is that David sought God. God was in all his thoughts. He made it a habit to think on God and think on God regularly. He focused on God. And the truth is, our mind only has room for two things: the Lord or the world. The things of Jesus, the things that are spiritual, or things that are carnal, and things that are after the flesh. Our minds are like sponges, and it's there to absorb. David was saying, hey, look, just think on the Lord. Know ye the Lord. Study Him. Know ye that you're His sheep. Know who you are in God. Not only his thoughts, but then his tongue. He says, when you want to come in to the holiest place, to the presence of God, it's not through a bull, it's not through a goat, it's not through those sacrifices. Number one, it's through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be saved. But he says in these principles, number two, it's with your tongue. Thanksgiving. Blessing his name. And I've seen this. I have seen this. I was in the prison preaching this man, Bob Black, and what he would do is he'd get in front of all these guys. He had a criminal history, and he would get in front of all these guys, and he said, you know, you see that block over there? And it was the worst block. That was like where the murderers went. I was in that block. And they're like, whoa. Now, they didn't know that when he was in there, it wasn't the murderer's block, but he didn't tell them that part. Amen. Catch him with guile. Amen, Pastor Bez. And then he would go on and preach, and I would see man after man, week after week, trust in Christ. Why? Because of the testimony that he was using to bless the name of Jesus Christ. The testimony. David said here, I'm going to bless his name. I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to give thanks. The power of God. You know, in Idaho, about 7 years ago or so, there was a pastor and his son, Hosiah Herring, 8-year-old boy, had a large brain tumor. Word quickly spread around the churches. We began praying. We began fasting for this little boy. I would call and get updates with my friend who knew him, who visited him, and she would talk to the father, the pastor. 8-year-old boy, brain tumor, they say, was growing at such a fast rate that all the treatments they could do, it was just about comforting him. They said the tumor was growing at such a fast rate that his heart would speed up so fast, that his nerves would rev up so fast because of how this tumor is pressing against his brain, that they said eventually he would die of a burst heart. That's the type of pain this little boy. He's 8 years old. He's in the hospital hooked up to these tubes. And you know what my friend said he was doing? She said that he would be praising Jesus and singing songs he made up to Jesus. He'd just be in there in the hospital and in this pain, praising the Lord, singing songs that he made up. Amen? And I thought, man, what excuse do I have? When that little guy died, I attended the funeral. I didn't know what to expect. It was packed out. On the front rows were doctors and nurses that probably would have never come to a regular patient's funeral. Two pastors preached, the dad of his own son and the grandfather, who was also a preacher of that little boy. They gave that invitation, and it's probably the only time I've ever seen at a funeral, not just one or two, but there was probably 10, 15 people came forward to trust Jesus Christ. I mean, the power of God was there. God was dealing with people. Why? Because they saw in that little boy the presence of an almighty God. They saw in that little boy that he could give thanks to God in the worst of situations. That he could give thanks to his Savior. And it was real. It wasn't fake. It wasn't artificial. It was supernatural. It was above human reason. It was God in that little boy. And they saw that. And they wanted what that boy had because it was real. Never seen a funeral like that. Let's finish this up. Look at the last verse. If we sing to Him, if we serve Him, if we seek Him, this is the promise that He gives us. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. He promises if we'll sing and we'll serve and we'll seek Him, He promises to sustain us. He promises His presence will come. You see, the Bible says He looks throughout the whole earth looking to whom, a person, He can show Himself mighty. He's looking to show up in a special way. He's just looking for a man like David who will seek Him. He's just looking for a man or child or girl who'll say, you know what, I'm going to sing to the Lord. God, You're my Savior. I want the whole world to know how good You are. He's looking for someone who'll give Him thanks, who'll seek Him with all their thoughts, and someone who'll serve Him. It doesn't take a special person. It doesn't take an educated person. It doesn't take an older person, a mature person. It just takes a person who's willing to apply these principles. That the Word, and it says, I'll sustain you. The Lord is good. My mercy is everlasting. My truth will endure. He'll sustain you. Christian, tonight, as you reflect on your service, on your seeking, on your singing, your praise of Him, where would you like God to just show up? You know, the truth is, it's simple, but it's not always easy. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. But it's a sacrifice that we can be excited to know God will always honor. He says, my mercy is everlasting. My truth endureth forever. Seek me, sing to me, serve me, and I'll show up. How exciting that we can have the Creator show up in our day-to-day lives. Let's pray. Lord, thank You, God, for these truths. Thank You, Lord, that, Lord, You're looking here tonight in this congregation through us. You're looking to see who will sing to You, who will seek You with their whole heart, who will serve You, God, serve You with gladness, God, so You can show up in a special way. We pray, Lord, that that would be us. We pray, God, that when the opportunity, the test, the chance comes to be a testimony, to give thanks, that we'll rise to the occasion and You'll show up in our day-to-day lives so we can see the change that only the presence of God can move. And we pray and ask this in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Can I get a couple of microphones, handheld microphones, real quick, and two people to pass them around? I just want to go around quickly, and we'll just do a couple of these. And here's what I'm looking for. I want to thank the Lord for just one sentence, maybe two sentences. You know what I want to thank the Lord for? I want to thank the Lord for preachers that have gone before, and they left their writings behind in book form, and He being dead yet speaketh. And I want to thank the Lord for Christian authors that have ministered into my life. Raise your hand. Malachi, you go first. Anybody? Yes. Raise your hand. I want to thank the Lord for, just quickly.
I want to thank the Lord for a wife. You know, in a good church family. A lot of people could have a good church family, but they choose that there is none, you know?
Amen. But. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Hello. Oh, I want to thank the Lord for the Santiagos. They are just such an encouragement to this church, and I just couldn't help thinking of them when Pastor Ashton was preaching tonight, and
Amen.
I don't even know what to say. I'm just really, really thankful that they're here and we love them so much.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I want to thank Pastor Ashton and Pastor Bez, some of the best preachers I've ever heard of in my young life, for sure. And plus, they've been able to help me along my journey and my life many, many occasions. There's not too many pastors like that nowadays.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, someone else.
I just wanted to thank God for just blessing me in the way that I've managed to buy a house and have a job and pay for the house.
Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to thank the Lord for two preachers who pray before they preach. It shows.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am.
I want to thank the Lord for my mother-in-law, for the Lord making arrangements that she can come down to San Antonio and live with us, or, you know, live by us and be at our house and it not feel like it's just some random person. She's part of our family. We've been through a rough time the past month, and I'm thankful that she is just a prayer warrior and she's here for us, and my kids get to grow up with her.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes.
I want to thank the Lord for my loving and caring parents, and that they were there for me through the hard times.
Amen. Amen. Someone else.
I want to praise the Lord for giving me this beautiful life to be surrounded with all these beautiful people.
No, thank you. Spiritually beautiful. Yes.
I want to praise the Lord for his the Sermon on the Mount. What an amazing sermon. What an amazing book.
Yes. Ms. Myra.
I want to thank the Lord for saturating my life with his word, being able to listen to sound doctrine, BBN radio, sermons, music, everything from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed. Because if I breathe, because if I'm here tonight, it's because he allowed me to come to church tonight. And I want to thank all of you for your prayers and for your love. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're very thankful you're here. Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am.
I want to thank God for the Lord for keeping my dad alive.
Amen. Amen.
Helping the doctors find out what was wrong with him and give him emergency surgery last year, and got to go out to see a band concert with him this afternoon, just him and me.
Amen.
It's awesome.
Amen. Yes.
I praise God for, I want to thank the Lord for people like AJ, for Roger, for Cormac, and for those guys allowing me to be a part of their spiritual growth and for them being a part of my spiritual growth.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
I want to thank the Lord for my salvation and the salvation that he secured for my family. I want to thank him for his word. I thank him for this church, and I also thank him for the piano players, for Sister Janie and Rachel. Lord,
Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
I want to thank Brother Phil for our Sunday school class. I really have been enjoying it, and I feel like being in that class has just been such an encouragement to
Amen.
Both me
Amen.
And husband.
Yes. Back in the sound booth, we have two to the right, one to the left. Yep.
I thank you for the Lord waking me up this day to get baptized this morning.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to thank the Lord for the power of prayer and for my dad still being here, and for everyone who's been really pulling together and praying for us, because it definitely has felt and helped.
Amen. And her dad's name is Randy. He's in ICU right now in Tampa, and he's going to need a heart transplant. You pray for him, please. Yes, sir.
I just want to thank the Lord for his mercy and for grace. And, you know, we're always going to be stuck with the old man. And, you know, our sins have already been paid for. But what's awesome about it is, I mess up almost every day. And it's awesome that I can go to him and ask for forgiveness, knowing that it's already been taken care of. And I also thank the Lord for Reagan and the continued progress that she's making with her treatments.
Amen. 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 All right. Yes, sir. We'll take one more.
I want to thank the Lord for Christian parents.
Amen. I think, did Gabriel have his hand up? Did you want to say something, Gabriel? Okay. All right. Brother Moreno, please close us in prayer, sir.
Thank you, Father in heaven, for this time now. I'm so glad for your word, Lord. Where would we be without your word, God? I'm so thankful that we do have men here who teach and preach, Lord, and expound the word unto us, Lord. I'm so glad that there are people here who appreciate, Lord, the quality of music and the doctrine and the preaching, and who decide to minister, to take it upon themselves and relieve our leaders of the burdens of the everyday tasks of this church, whether they're passing out a bulletin or serving a donut or teaching a class, Lord. We all have a part, Lord, and I'm so glad for this church. Not just these walls and these windows, Lord, but for all the people that make up the church. Truly, it's a blessing that everyone had a hand in the salvation and baptisms that took place this morning. Everyone had a hand in Ezra's help this morning. And everyone's had a hand in the way my sons have been raised. And I praise you, Lord. I pray that we have a safe week. I pray that we would be spirit-filled throughout the week, Lord, and that we would return at the day appointed until Jesus comes back to take us to heaven, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.